听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 11, New Trends in Trade, Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Level off. 2. Fluctuate. 3. Constant. 4. Consensus. 5. Summon. 6. Sanction. 7. Rule out. 8. Full-fledged. 9. Saturate. 10. Merger.
B. You are going to hear 10 phrases. While listening, look at the chart below. Then, match the terms you've heard to the reference points marked on chart 1.
1. Solid line. 2. Broken line. 3. Dotted line. 4. To rise steadily. 5. To level off. 6. To remain constant. 7. To reach a plateau. 8. To fluctuate wildly. 9. To dip slightly. 10. To fall dramatically.
C. In this section, a sales manager is giving a presentation about domestic and export sales. Listen carefully and complete the graph shown in chart 2.
I'd like to look at the following indicator and how it has affected our sales this year. If you look at this graph, I've plotted domestic and export sales. As you can see, domestic sales, represented by the solid line here, have remained pretty constant for most of the year, around 40 million pounds a month. There were two slight dips, one in April to 36 million pounds and the other in August to 37 million pounds, but I'll come back to these later. Now export sales, shown here by the broken line, have fluctuated quite wildly during the year. They started the year around 65 million pounds and rose in the first quarter to a new record of 82 million pounds. They leveled off for a month or so and then started to fall dramatically to reach a low of 45 million pounds in June. They recovered a bit over the next few months and seemed to find their level around 55 million pounds for the last 3 months of the year.
Part 2. Trade Disputes. A. In this section, you are going to hear a news report talking about the trade disputes between the United States and Europe. While listening for the first time, write down some key words in the notes column. After the second listening, complete the following chart.
U.S. Ambassador in London was summoned Friday to the British Foreign Office to hear a sharp protest over U.S. attempts to tax British goods. The British actions follow rising tensions in the European Union's trade dispute with the United States over banana imports. The Friday meeting at the Foreign Office was the second summons in as many days for U.S. Ambassador, underlining Britain's anger over threatened U.S. trade restrictions on British Kashmir. Britain's Prime Minister, Tony Blair, has also telephoned U.S. President Bill Clinton. British officials called the U.S. trade sanctions against British and other European goods irrational and unacceptable. The ambassador later told reporters the U.S. administration regrets the tariffs decision, but believes it is justified.
We've explained that the issue is not about bananas, essentially. It's not essentially about Kashmir. It's about playing by the rules.
The new U.S. tariffs would include 100% duties on Scottish cashmere sweaters, Italian cheese, and French leather bags, among other products. The threatened tariffs come after the United States and the European Union are locked in a dispute over the EU rules favoring banana imports from former colonies in Africa and the Caribbean. The United States argues the rules discriminate against Central American bananas, which are marketed by American companies. British industry officials complain the companies that will suffer from U.S. trade restrictions are not even linked to the banana dispute. The Scottish Cashmere Association estimates the U.S. action could cost the industry 2,000 jobs. In Brussels, the EU Trade Commissioner spokesman said that the EU has called for an emergency meeting of the World Trade Organization's General Council, which is scheduled for Monday.
We will not resort to the kind of unilateralism and the breaking of international procedures that the United States have done this week.
The European Union has not ruled out imposing its own tariffs against American exports, which could turn the banana dispute into a full-fledged trade war.
B. Now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the news report. After that, some statements will be read to you. Decide whether they are true or false. Put T or F in the brackets.
U.S. ambassador in London was summoned Friday to the British Foreign Office to hear a sharp protest over U.S. attempts to tax British goods. The British actions follow rising tensions in the European Union's trade dispute with the United States over banana imports. The Friday meeting at the Foreign Office was the second summons in as many days for U.S. Ambassador, underlining Britain's anger over threatened U.S. trade restrictions on British cashmere. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair has also telephoned U.S. President Bill Clinton. British officials call the U.S. trade sanctions against British and other European goods irrational and unacceptable. The ambassador later told reporters the U.S. administration regrets the tariff decision, but believes it is justified.
We explained that the issue is not about bananas, essentially. It's not essentially about cashmere, but it's about playing by the rules.
The new U.S. tariffs would include 100% duties on Scottish cashmere sweaters, Italian cheese, and French leather bags, among other products. The threatened tariffs come as the United States and the European Union are locked in a dispute over the EU rules favoring banana imports from former colonies in Africa and the Caribbean. The United States argues the rules discriminate against Central American bananas, which are marketed by American companies. British industry officials complain the companies that will suffer from the U.S. trade restrictions are not even linked to the banana dispute. The Scottish Cashmere Association estimates the U.S. action could cost the industry 2,000 jobs. In Brussels, the EU Trade Commissioner's spokesman says the EU has called for an emergency meeting of the World Trade Organization's General Council, which is scheduled for Monday.
We will not resort to the kind of unilateralism and the breaking of international procedures that the United States have done this week.
The European Union has not ruled out imposing its own tariffs against American exports, which could turn the banana dispute into a full-fledged trade war.
Statements. 1. It is estimated by the Scottish Cashmere Association that 2,000 people in the industry might lose their jobs. 2. The European Union thinks that the United States has broken international procedures in passing its new trade sanctions. 3. It's impossible for the banana dispute to be turned into a big trade war. Part 3. Our sales numbers are up. A. Michael is attending the sales meeting reporting his business performance during the second quarter of the year. While listening for the first time, don't forget to write down some key words in the notes column. After the second listening, note on the following chart Michael's actual sales for April, May, and June.
Michael, can you bring your sales report into my office, please? I'd like to discuss it with you.
Sure, Terry.
Okay. Let's see here. All right, I just want to fill in some of these numbers.
Well, the second quarter sales numbers just came in a few minutes ago. We haven't...
That's okay. Just tell me what they are for now.
Well, in April, our department sold 200,000.
Only 200,000. That makes a total of 4 million. I see your goal was 5 million. any reason you didn't make your goal?
Well, yes, I guess I'd have to say it was because of that basketball player. You see, he was supposed to do a commercial for us, and at the last minute, he went to another company. That really hurt us.
Well, I guess that could be a problem. And in May, you're up how much?
$1 million. Bringing us to 5. May was a really tough month for us. We had that fire in our factory in Kentucky.
Oh, right. Luckily, nobody was hurt.
Yeah. Then in June, we sold $1.4 million.
$1.4? Okay, and that brings you to...
$6.4 million. Actually, we were hoping for more, but then two of our best salespeople quit.
Mm.
And it took us a while to get...
All right. But that leaves your department way below your goal for now.
Yeah, I guess it does. But don't worry, Terry. We'll get our sales up next month.
Okay, but I'd like to see a marketing report for July to December on my desk Monday.
B. Now listen to the dialogue again and write the reasons why Michael didn't make his sales goals. Part 4. More about the topic. The World Trade Organization. A. The following passage is a general introduction of the World Trade Organization, WTO. While listening to it, write down some key words in the notes column.
The World Trade Organization, WTO, is the only international organization dealing with the global rules of trade between nations. It has more than 130 members, accounting for over 90% of world trade. Over 30 others are negotiating membership. Decisions are made by the entire membership. This is typically by consensus. A majority vote is also possible, but it has never been used in the WTO and was extremely rare under the WTO's predecessor, GATT. The WTO's agreements have been ratified in all members' parliaments. The WTO's top-level decision-making body is the Ministerial Conference, which meets at least once every 2 years. Below this is the General Council, which meets several times a year in the Geneva headquarters. The General Council also meets as the Trade Policy Review Body and the Dispute Settlement Body. At the next level, the Goods Council, Services Council, and Intellectual Property Council report to the General Council. Numerous specialized committees, working groups, and working parties deal with the individual agreements and other areas such as the environment, development, membership applications, and regional trade agreements. The WTO Secretary, based in Geneva, has around 500 staff and is headed by a Director General. It does not have branch offices outside Geneva. Since decisions are taken by the members themselves, the Secretariat does not have the decision-making role that other international bureaucracies are given. The Secretariat's main duties are to supply technical support for the various councils and committees and the ministerial conferences, to provide technical assistance for developing countries, to analyze world trade, and to explain WTO affairs to the public and media. The Secretariat also provides some forms of legal assistance in the dispute settlement process and advises governments wishing to become members of the WTO. The annual budget is roughly 117 million Swiss francs.
B. Now, listen to the passage again and supply the missing information to complete the outline. Part 5. Do you know? A. The following passage is about the world car industry. While listening for the first time, don't forget to take down some key words in the notes column. After the second listening, match each company in column A with the company or companies in column B, indicating who bought whom or who is going to buy whom. Analysts believe in a few decades there will be only about 5 automakers worldwide. There are more cars in the United States today than there are licensed drivers. and markets in Europe and Japan are equally saturated. The developing world, long considered the best hope for increasing auto sales, is in the midst of a financial crisis. As a result, says analyst Philip Gott of Standard & Poor's Global Automotive Group, that the only way an automaker can expand sales these days is to acquire another company and take over its market share. He says that's why General Motors bought Saab, and Volkswagen bought Rolls-Royce, and Daimler-Benz bought Chrysler, and there appear to be many more mergers on the horizon.
Everyone is sort of expecting that Daimler-Chrysler is going to do something with Nissan, whether it's the truck side, which makes a lot of sense, or the car and truck operations. Another possibility, of course, is Fiat. Fiat is known to be looking around. There are companies that are involved in looking and are talked about as candidates for takeovers, companies such as Renault.
Mergers also create economies of scale. The auto business is one of huge fixed costs in plant and equipment, Schroeder auto analyst John Cassessa says. And the more cars you produce, the more you can lower your production cost per unit. Mr. Cassessa says when Ford and Volvo merge, Volvo models will still look like Volvos. But because it is so large a company, Ford will be able to build Volvos for little more than the cost to build a Ford, and continue selling them at Volvo's higher price. Mr. Cassessa says Volvo, in return, is acquired by a company with proven international marketing success and vast resources to invest in building up a Volvo small truck division. He agrees with Philip Gott there will be more mutually beneficial mergers on the auto horizon.
B. Now, try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the passage.
Analysts believe in a few decades there will be only about 5 automakers worldwide.
There are more cars in the United States today than there are licensed drivers, and markets in Europe and Japan are equally saturated. The developing world, long considered the best hope for increasing auto sales, is in the midst of financial crisis. As a result, says analyst Philip Gott of Standard & Poor's Global Automotive Group, that the only way an automaker can expand sales these days is to acquire another company and take over its market share. He says that is why General Motors bought Saab, and Volkswagen bought Rolls-Royce, and Daimler-Benz bought Chrysler, and there appear to be many more mergers on the horizon.
Everyone's sort of expecting that Daimler-Chrysler is going to do something with Nissan, whether it's the truck side, which makes a lot of sense, or the car and truck operations. Another possibility, of course, is Fiat. Fiat is known to be looking around. There are companies that are both looking and are talked about as candidates for takeovers, companies such as Renault.
Mergers also create economies of scale. The auto business is one of huge fixed costs in plant and equipment, Schroeder auto analyst John Cassessa says. And the more cars you produce, the more you can lower your production cost per unit. Mr. Cassessa says when Ford and Volvo merge, Volvo models will still look like Volvos. But because it is so large a company, Ford will be able to build Volvos for little more than it costs to build a Ford and continue selling them at Volvo's higher price. Mr. Cassessa says Volvo, in return, is acquired by a company with proven international marketing success and vast resources to invest in building up a Volvo small truck division. He agrees with Philip Gott. There will be more mutually beneficial mergers on the auto horizon.